Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You know, Jeremy Swayman, I think, probably is a little hurt right now. Yeah. And the reparation of that relationship is now part of this thing as well, not just the actual contract negotiation. So I think it gets done eventually, believe it or not, despite all the drama of this week, but how the player feels about things will be interesting.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Pierre LeBrun right there talking Bruins as we are right now on WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here as we move into the 3 o'clock hour. The cool down period that was promised, we're in the middle of it right now. After sparks flew earlier on in the week between Cam Neely, between Louis Gross, the agent representing Jeremy Swayman, LeBron and others, I'm seeing, think that a deal still will get done here, and I'm starting to veer into that camp. At first, when all the emotions were very high, and of course I was very emotional on behalf of my dear good friend Jeremy Swayman,
I've noticed.
I was thinking that this is untenable. I thought the relationship was too fractured. I didn't think that it made sense to move forward together. Now I'm starting to wonder if it, man, this is from reading Fluto and Porter and Saravelli and a lot of other people, and it basically seems at this point like, number one, sitting out the year is not a good thing for Swayman, and not having Swayman is not a good thing for the Bruins. It's too mutually beneficial for them to figure something out here. Neither one of them is better off than the alternative, you know, even if it's a couple extra $100,000 or whatever it may be. I look at it as, in this situation anyway, and the reason why I'm firmly in Swayman's camp here is because I tend to do that most times when it comes to these players, but also because Swayman didn't have a normal introduction to the NHL. He basically skipped right through the AHL, and then when Halak and Tuukka both got hurt, he got called up and was very good, and they thought, oh, wow, we might have something here. Let's go ahead and cultivate this and see if we can turn this young goalie into something special. And then Ullmark was surprisingly good. I don't think anybody expected him to catch fire the way that he did, and some of that may have, I don't know if it stunted Swayman's progression, because I still think he's a top goalie, but it may have stunted his bargaining power in some ways. Like, you know, resume? This is the reason why. Yeah, his resume. Like, you haven't done it. We haven't seen you do it for a full season. And it's like, well, that's not necessarily my fault that you brought in a guy who you only paid $5 million to, didn't expect him to be a Vezina Trophy winner one year, and then he went off and completely killed it that one season. A season which, by the way, Jeremy Swayman was very good in. And then last year, I think it was clear that Swayman passed Ullmark and a lot of other goalies, by the way, in the NHL, and is now sort of looking at it from that perspective. But even with all that, you hold out to a point. You hold out until December 1st. First of all, I don't think the agent wants to be known as the December 1st agent. I don't think that that's something that he wants to be. That already happened with Nylander. I don't think he wants that to happen again. So I think it's more in his interest as a professional in that space not to let it drag on that much over a couple $100,000. I also don't think the Bruins have any real positive stake in letting it drag on more than it has already. I think that at some point here, and it does seem like whatever is still left to be, whatever gap is still left to be bridged is very small. They got to just do it. They have to both put everything aside and just do it. Otherwise, it could be catastrophic for all of them.
So this is going to sound like a weird question because it's philosophical.
Yeah.
What's easier to move past, being sad or being angry?
Being angry.
Okay. Because
I get angry, I sort of blow my stack, and then I'm over it. I get sad.
You yelled at me the first segment.
Right, and now we're best friends. But when I'm sad, I feel like I'm sad for a long time. You know, like you can fall into a sadness.
Am I wrong that there's a possibility that the Bruins seem angry? Both Neely and Sweeney at various points when they've spoken publicly seemed angry.
Yeah.
Legit angry.
I'd say there's some anger on Swayman's side too, but yeah.
I think he's more sad. I think his agent is angry. I think Swayman
on
is
behalf
sad.
Of him because
I think
of that.
He has the sads.
Yeah.
And he's been disrespected and sort of all the things you... I also learned something. I didn't know that there was another olive branch given that you've skipped right over.
What would that be?
They could have done a 2-year deal out of arbitration last year, and they did a 1.
That's true.
They could have locked him up for 3.5 for each year for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I think that was an olive branch. I think that was you're going to go out,
sure.
And then you're probably going to get paid after this season. And so between arbitration and then midseason trying to trade Ullmark and then trading Ullmark, those are 3 olive branches or attempted olive branches that are an investment in Swayman. Not the money, not the respect the way Giselle wanted it, not that kind of respect, right? Appreciation of dollars. But they could have locked him up and really busted his balls for 2 years, right?
Yeah, they could have.
So shouldn't there be some credit given from the Swayman side for that?
I guess. I mean, it's
business, remember.
That's kind of like giving him credit for coming up from 625, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give him a ton of credit for that.
No, but Mr. Businessman. Mr. Businessman in Maine
with
law
arbitration?
School,
sure, yeah.
In Maine business school. If they gave you one deal that said you get to keep this product for $3.5 million for 2 full years, guaranteed, locked in, nothing can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do 1 year, and then the next year, bare minimum, you'll have to pay $6 million for the product, $8 million for the product, $10 million for the product. Wouldn't the businessman from Maine Business School say, seems like if we only have to pay $7 million over 2 years, that's a better business deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So if he's looking at this as pure business, he needs to realize they gave him an opportunity here.
I'd agree with that, but I also think that if they had done that, that would have maybe pushed him out the door when it was his time to be a UFA. And
sure,
I don't know
maybe.
If that's necessarily, like, you could get the one extra cheap year of him here, or you could lock him up for the future. And I think that's sort of the disconnect, is like, do they want him to be the number one goalie
yes,
of the future here
they
or
made
not?
That quite clear.
And if they do, well, then they should pay him accordingly.
$8 million.
Yeah. Or yeah. 8.25, whatever, you know, I mean.
Whatever he wants,
don't
right?
go crazy.
No. See, I don't know what he's giving them. They're giving him the 8 years that he prioritized, correct?
Well, as of Tuesday, yes.
Right?
Sure.
So they're giving him
but
the 8 years.
But prior to that, it seemed like that offer hadn't come
they
through
They didn't
yet.
Lock him in for 2 years coming out of arbitration. They got rid of the other goalie mm-hmm. to give up some of their leverage. They have invested in every single way except the one. Giving him absolutely everything
except
he wants.
Except one kind of important one.
No, because they're at $8 million.
The money is not important into an investment?
He wants to be stupid money. They want to give real 8-5 money.
8-5 is not stupid money.
You don't know if it's 8-5 because there's been plenty of reports it's high 8s and 9.
Okay, if they offered 8-5 and he didn't take it, then I'd agree with that.
$72 million,
they've
would you
offered
do it?
8 and he hasn't taken it yet, and that was an offer that was made in sort of weird circumstances and
yep.
very aggressive kind of confrontational circumstances that he wanted to take a minute and, I don't know, take a day or a week or whatever it's going to be and consider. Now, I think he should take the 8-8 personally. I think that's a good fair market deal for him, the 8-8. 8 years, $8 million per year.
Oh, I thought you meant 8.8. I was like, I didn't
know. No, 8 years, $8 million.
Because I think he might take 8.8.
8 by 8. He definitely, I think he would too. And I think he'd take 8.5 or 8.25 or whatever. I think that's probably what he's going for. Sorokin's 8.25, and you know, Hellebuck just got 8.5, and he's 5 years older. So I think that that's in there in the Lewis Gross world of the market. I think that that's what they're operating under, and also the leverage that you just sort of pointed out, which would say, okay, you want me to be your number one goalie. You want me here. This is what we're doing. You got rid of the other guys. I'm the number one goalie going forward, and I want to be paid like one, and here's what some of the other number ones are making, and I think I'm as good as them. So let's get this over with, and if you're going to be such hardos over $200,000, $500,000 per year, then, you know, like, this is going to be a big stalemate. Now, we talked yesterday with McLaughlin about believing in Jeremy Swayman. And yeah. He said, no, I do think they believe in him. I think they do to an extent. I think they believe the Torrey Krug to an extent. But this isn't going over easily like David Pastrnak. It's not going over easily like Charlie McAvoy. When those guys came in to negotiate, they asked for the top number, and they got it. And that's the way it was. And I think that with Swayman, he's not asking for top number. He's not asking for a record-setting, market-setting deal. He's asking for 8.5, which would be up there. I mean, they'd be top 5, maybe top 4, whatever it is. But not resetting the market. That's not what he's demanding. It doesn't seem like. Maybe that was what the initial demand was. And if it comes out that he's not moving off at 10, I'll change my mind here. But I don't think that if it's 8.5, and that's what Friedman reported, that's what he's stuck on is 8.5. And I'll that one helps my argument the most, so I'm going to stick with it. Then I think that's reasonable. That's a reasonable thing to ask for, and that's a reasonable thing for the Bruins to pay. And I don't get why they're busting his balls so hard for it.
Well, I think he's being a baby. You know, I think he's a baby.
I kind of agree at this point.
He's got
some of this stuff is very sort of meh.
And know, I also like, don't know that I'd be saying he's being a baby if he hadn't harped on the I know the business so much. You can't pretend you're all business and then seemingly be so sensey and tell everybody, they were so mean to me in arbitration and they brought up really, really mean points. It's called business. Like that was an actual, that was literally like a business hearing. Isn't that what arbitration is? It's like a business hearing.
Yep.
Supposedly what he loves business because he's so educated on all the aspects of the cap. And
well, everything. He is in the sense that, you know, he took classes, but he took classes as a student athlete, a big stud student athlete in school. And it was probably like how most stud student athletes take classes in school. They say, here's your A, now go out there and win the game.
You know? But now he claims he's also studied NHL business, the cap and where it's going and where it's going to be and all those things. So he loves the numbers. He gets
frankly, in the NHL is not particularly complicated. Like, they have a hard cap.
It's not like the NBA.
The NFL is very different. The NBA's got all these aprons and everything. Like the NHL, it's you have this much money to spend and you can spend it on this many guys and that's it.
Are you sure these weren't online classes he was taking?
I'm not sure about
that. That's a shock.
There's nothing wrong with online guys. I took online classes. There's nothing wrong with that. But no, I'm not sure.
Is that supposed to be an argument on the pro side or the con side?
I'm not sure. I have no idea.
You think
no
we've been to all the planets.
That's true. 617-779. We've seen them all. 779-7937. Mike is in Nashua. Go ahead, Mike.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
I just don't agree that Swayman's as good as he thinks he is. I think he's not worth the money. He's not worth 10. He's not even worth 8. I'm in Sweeney and Neely's corner with this one. I don't think Swayman's anywhere near as good as he thinks he is. He had two disappointing playoff seasons. Last year wasn't anything special either. I don't know why you guys think that.
Swayman was special last year, Mike. And before that, he wasn't the starter.
I don't agree. I want a clean slate with a goaltender. I want to get rid of him, too.
Jonas Korpisalo's here in his .890 save percentage. So have fun with that, Mike. I mean, Jesus. We're talking like you got some other guy waiting in the wings here.
He's a Bruin now.
And you don't. I'm sorry. Like that. And to say that Swayman wasn't good last year is absurd. He was the favorite for the Conn Smythe through the first two rounds of the playoffs. And that's the only two rounds he played in. So, you know, like the Conn Smythe's not the best goalie. That's the best player in the playoffs. And he was the favorite through 2 weeks. He was awesome.
Even
in the playoffs.
I can admit he was good. I'm very anti-Swayman in this whole debate here, but he was good.
The reason why I'm not as good as standing for Swayman hard is because of how he played in the playoffs. It's a big part of it. That mattered to me. I watched that. And I thought, that's better than Ullmark. That's better than a lot of guys.
It's
better than Duke a lot of times.
Giving an extension off the end of last season and just throwing $150, $200 million, whatever. How many hundred million?
No, because Cassis didn't do it in the playoffs, Andy. That's different.
He couldn't because his team wasn't invited
to what I'm saying. And Swayman's a big reason why they did as good as they were last year.
He was very
good in the playoffs, and that matters to me.
He still has a losing record as a postseason goalie, right?
He was only 6-6 this past year. That's true. But his stats were off the charts. They were.
Was it a deep dive of the...
He had a .933 save percent. He was awesome in those games. Even in the Toronto games, they lost 5-6.
I thought if you had an awesome goalie, you win the cup.
Well, okay, not always. How many games did they lose 2-1 to Florida?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And also to Toronto. I think
I'm on your side in this part of the
2-1.
Argument. He was really good in the postseason.
Yes.
But one really good postseason doesn't mean you hand a guy an 8-year, $80 million contract as the second highest paid goalie in the history of the game.
All right. Well, one really good regular season, and they gave one to Sorokin, and it was more money than this. So, I mean, you know, that's not – you can say that, but that's not the way the market's
played
out.
So everybody should give Deshaun Watson
I don't think Sorokin's was a crazy contract. I don't think that was an outrageous contract.
One comp doesn't make, you know,
a market. Not always, but I do think it helps shape it.
And there's more.
And it's a recent one, and it's a similar aged goalie, and I do think that helps make the comp. Yes,
this is your most passionate argument I've ever heard on almost anything.
Why? Because I'm winning.
No. Oh, you're not winning. Everybody knows you're on the wrong side of this.
I don't believe so.
You're on Sway Train or whatever.
I am on the Sway
called.
Train, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will table the Bruins conversation for a moment because we're going to be joined by Tommy Curran here at 3:30. We'll take an updated look at the Patriot way as Curran's been talking about Andrews and the stabilizing force that he's been. We'll see how stable this team actually is without him and how stable they've been so far with him to start the year. But first, here's Joe Braver to tell you what's trending.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
He's a stabilizing force, and this is a team that needed that stability because it was losing it, and now they're even further destabilized. One interesting thing about last season is after every single game, the first person who came out and faced the music with his sad face on, the sad victory, the sad loss cigar, was David Andrews, and he did it every week, and he stood up there week after week as it got bleaker and bleaker and bleaker and tried to put a face on things that would make people feel better, or at least represent his team in a particular way. They're going to need it for a whole different reason this year as they try and find their footing under Gerard Mayo. And there's really, it's really hard to find somebody to articulate that. So it's not just on the field, but I think we all understand off the field too.
It's Tommy Curran discussing the loss of David Andrews, who is going to have season-ending surgery. Is he having it today? I don't know if when it was scheduled for.
Oh, I don't know, but yes.
But yeah, there was a chance he could have played through it. With the encouragement of Jacoby Brissett, he did not.
Oh, hell no. Collect a check and get out of here.
That's what I would probably do in the same situation.
Especially since he only has so many bullets left to use them all, maybe all of them this year.
Yeah.
And then never play again. And
I wonder if Brissett was like, if he's out, they're less likely to put the kid in. I'll get more starts.
Oh, so you think it was devious? It
wasn't that just hit me right now.
You're stumbling into some good stuff today.
I think Brissett's not that kind of guy. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. So. But, you know, he's like looking at it. How many more instances is he going to be the starter on an NFL team?
Well, this is the last one either way.
Ever, probably, right?
Yes.
So every single one of these games
is
probably pretty important then, is all I'm saying.
Right? He could start games in the future as a backup.
Right.
You know, Drake May, he could back up Drake May next year. I don't rule out him re-signing here, being Drake May's backup, and then Drake May gets hurt.
And then he has to play. I see that. Yeah, I see what you mean. But even that's not a guarantee. Like,
do you think
no...
he's having fun?
Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
When I watch him screaming in pain on the ground, doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I also think he'd rather be starting than backing up somewhere else. I think he'd rather be starting in New England than being a backup somewhere else in the
league. I think he's miserable right now. There was a comment he made yesterday when somebody asked him about generally, the offense has to do something, and he's like, they say they, but they mean me or something. Like, he's feeling the pressure and the focus and the criticism, as he should. He's the quarterback. That's the way it works.
Right, and he hasn't played particularly well. So,
right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he could easily say, if he wanted to be a dink, if he wanted to go Pop Douglas style or, you know, off the cuff, he could say, this is the worst offensive line I've ever played behind. I've never run for my life like this.
Pull a Shedeur Sanders.
Right? Like, he could, right?
Yeah, he definitely could.
Yeah, that's what he should have done. Which was the game where he pointed to the Nebraska kid, Rayola?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could have said, you know, I don't know, I watched Purdy, and he barely, well, that's a bad example. He kind of ran, but, you know, like.
Purdy got sacked once, and it was after he held the ball for 14
right.
seconds. Yeah.
He could do that. I didn't see Purdy get hit much. I'm getting hit every play. He could do that, and he won't, because that's why he's here. He's a veteran, and he knows the game. But I do, like, I don't think he can't be having fun.
No, probably not.
Be.
Compared to other seasons and other teams where he was not getting the crap kicked out of him. But, you know, even that season he started with the Colts, that Andrew Luck year, he got sacked more than anybody in the league that year. It was his second year, and he probably thought, hey, I'm starting in the NFL. Like, I was a third-round pick last year. I'm starting. You know, can you compartmentalize that even if you're not winning and you're getting the crap kicked out of you?
But at that time,
at 24, maybe it's easier.
Yeah, I think younger, and you still are a competitor. You still believe, no, I can start in this league. I'm going to be a starter. This is an opportunity. But now, I think he knows kind of the writing on the wall. He's bounced around. This is his third team in 3 years, fourth team in 4 years, something like that. He's been bouncing around on 1 year stints at various places. So I think he knows what he is. And right now, he's the central figure in an absolute miserable production. There's no way around it.
It's true.
And I can't see a way he's having fun. Because he's not even really competing. It'd be one, he's running for his life. He's getting hit. We've all sort of joked about it. He's a crash test dummy.
Yeah.
What do you call him, a meat shield?
Yes.
Like, he's got people on the radio calling him a meat shield. Is that fun?
Probably not.
Is that how he saw this year going, or his career?
Hit 50 times a game probably is worse than the meat shield thing, but I would imagine that, yeah, he's probably not a huge fan of it, but whatever. I mean, that's the truth. In terms of what he is, his role on this team is protecting Drake May from himself or from the rest of the team,
then
I think that's the main reason he's here, unfortunately. I don't think they brought him in because they thought, all right, this guy's going to win us some games. If they thought that, they could have got Russell Wilson. I mean, there's other guys they could have gone for, and I think that would have made more sense. All right, we're trying to win games this year. We're going to draft Marvin Harrison, or we're going to draft, you know, somebody else, one of these offensive linemen. We're going to build an offense with a bridge quarterback, and then we'll go in the draft the next couple years. We'll trade up if we have to, and we'll get our guy then. That's not what they did. You know, they drafted their guy now. They didn't put much around him. They didn't want to play him because they're not super secure with this offense and with this roster, and so they brought in a guy like Brissett, who they can use a warm body they can throw out there and who's not going to make a big stink about it. I think that's
just keep getting up, yeah.
You know, like that's his motto. That's exactly the motto they were looking for.
But do you think he overthinks this? Because I would over, like,
Brissett
driving home, I don't know where he lives, you know, in the 20 minutes that he's in the car, whatever. Wouldn't you think about the future and how this ends and, you know, would it be better if I just got hurt and didn't have to play anymore? Like, those things, like, I would definitely overanalyze this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because I would wake up at night. You know, you wake up to
do like the pro wrestler get like the cut going.
Yeah, yeah.
You get hit and you're like, oh, I'm bleeding. I got to come out of the game.
I better come out. Oh, there's blood on my jersey. Can't use this. I better go to the locker room.
I think I better go on IR.
Yeah, I just.
But he's making decent money, right?
Yeah,
he
right.
makes the money
he's
either
still,
way.
He still make it, yeah.
Yeah, would you? Yeah, I guess. But here's the other thing. He loves ball. I think these players love ball.
Seems like he's loving this. Yeah.
Like he's
I'm with
hit
Andy.
Every
I don't
other
think
time.
He's loving this. I don't
this
think
is
so.
Where he's had a great attitude.
You know, we often tell people not to bring, like, their own mindset to professional sports. It's a different world. They're different beasts. That's how right. they got here. But he's a human being who's getting the snot kicked out of him. They're losing. Literally no one wants to see him play. Like, he hears it. He feels it. His family sees it. Social media. I just feel like at some point it would seep into your mind, and you would at least think about it. Do I really want to play? Do I really want to be out there? Do I really want to keep getting up?
According to Evan Lazar.
Uh-oh.
You see this?
No!
Evan Lazar said on the All 22 podcast today,
yeah,
the Patriots locker room is teetering on a mutiny.
Wow.
A mutiny.
That's Patriots.com's own Evan Lazar.
I like Lazar. I don't necessarily consider him the type of guy to drop a bomb like that. I don't know what the context of him saying that was. Maybe it was because, you know, Friday funnies weren't good this week or something, you know, like maybe it was something like that. But that doesn't seem like something that would be picking up the rounds here. I saw Savage Sports is tweeting it. I don't know the context, so I'm not going to pretend to, but a mutiny in the locker room. Interesting. Month into the season, 1-3. Things not going great. Roster's falling apart.
I don't
mutiny in the locker room.
I'm not in the locker room as much as Evan is.
Could that be a reference to you know, Godchow and Douglas and
yeah,
some of that
but
stuff?
I don't think that's a mutiny.
That
to
doesn't
me,
seem
a
like
mutiny,
mutiny
is
to me,
you're
yeah.
trying to destroy it from within.
This coach, we need to do something right. about this coach. Or we
I
need
think
to, you're right. Yeah.
You're on the verge of losing the locker room, of selfishness growing.
Vegas was a mutiny last year.
Yeah. They wanted Josh out.
Right.
You have retroactively, we see Devontae Adams and what he's feeling and saying. I don't think this is a mutiny. I think this would just be disinterest, lose the locker room, and I'm not saying that's good, but I think mutiny sounds strong to me.
Yeah,
very, very
that
strong.
Is that is a strong term. We'll dig into that a little bit, but first let's go to the hotline and talk to our good friend Tommy Kern with WEEI Afternoons. Is brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Kern, welcome in. How you doing?
Christian, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Just another week getting ready for this game, which Ross Tucker called it aptly and appropriately, I think, the battle for the basement. The Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, a matchup between two teams that somehow the Patriots are favored in. Looking ahead to this matchup here and what this game could sort of represent, a 2-3 record going into the rest of this schedule, which we've talked about, Tommy, does lighten up a little bit. Is there a chance for a season here still, or are we kind of past that at this point?
Well, I mean, it lightens up, you're right. And then, as you know, and everybody listening knows, it lightens up, but you can't take advantage of it if you're not better than the teams that it lines up against. I mean, they lost 30-13 to a good team, and the week before they were virtually non-competitive against what is probably a less-than-average team that played well, the Jets did on that night. There were circumstances involved. But, yeah, you're right, it lightens up. And they could certainly, I think things would go a long way toward being improved if they can look better defensively. If you just had something you could hang your hat on. And the lack of discipline is as maddening as the injuries are disappointing. And I think that you can make a conclusion, despite all the injuries on defense, that right now they're not taking the style of coaching and that is being given to them. And I say style because they know what they understand the concept of what they're being told to do. They're not doing it. So does it have to be phrased differently? And that's what I find interesting is this coaching staff gets more enmeshed in what it wants to do is, okay, well, what do we have to tweak? Because we're not getting through to them with the nice guy stuff, or we're not getting through to them with the urgency stuff. Does Ramondre Stevenson have to be treated differently? Do guys have to be treated differently along the edge setting stuff? So that's where I am.
Tom, is this coaching staff in danger of losing the locker room? I don't want to say mutiny. There's a report out there that maybe someone is saying that there's a verge of a mutiny in the locker room, but are they on the verge of losing the locker room?
Yeah, I think I phrased it as teetering after I heard Devon Godshaw.
Mm-hmm.
But losing the locker room or having mutinies. Look, fear the players only meeting. I think that's what you have to bear in mind. But as Mayo himself used to tell me when he was on our show, he's like 80% of the guys are right there in the middle. 10% are pulling the wrong way, and 10% are pulling exactly the right way.
Right.
It's which 10% wins. And when you see Bentley go down and Andrews go down, you've got two massive leaders on both sides of the ball whose voices are not going to be heard. And it's kind of a young team, too, in some respects. So young players who don't have a backlog of experience in what the NFL can be like and the length of time that an entire season encompasses, they could start to freak out about, oh, what about me? What this is the, this? They don't know what they're doing. I think that's the extent of the mutiny that I would see. So I would find it hard to call mutiny. Mutiny means they storm the coach's office and say, you're done. You, right. You can't coach us.
Right. Josh McDaniels or something like that, right? Like, yeah, that's not happening.
I think it would be better phrased as frustration bordering on resignation. But nobody has that kind of time for 9 syllables to describe it.
You talked about David Andrews and the stabilizing presence that he have, and you just sort of alluded to it right there, Tommy. I think when I heard that, I thought, yeah, you know, he is a stabilizing presence, but we haven't watched a particularly stable team here. How much worse can this get without David Andrews?
The question, I think, is how much does this lightened schedule impact what the Patriots are now capable of? Because the Jets looked at the Patriots and said, let's blitz these guys. I don't think they could stop us. They ran through them. The Niners said, well, we don't blitz either, but if they're going to blitz, we're going to blitz. And they ran right through them. Are the Dolphins capable of doing the same thing? Do the Patriots remain static? I mean, I don't think anyone really ever does. If you have a bad game at the plate or a bad day on the golf course or a bad day at the office, you say, you know what, I'm going to go home and work on some of that stuff so it doesn't happen again. That was embarrassing. So you can't expect the Patriots to remain just as bad. But then comes the question of, do you have the talent to stop it anyway? It's one thing to say, well, we don't want to see that happen again, and see how they have the personnel available to you to stop it. They insist that they can. So we will see.
Speaking of we will see, this defense, I think a lot of people thought they were going to see it maybe be more competitive, maybe even help win games or keep it in games. The underachievement we've seen through the first month, do you think that's no Judon, no Barmore, lose Bentley? Do you think that's Bill Belichick's gone, Steve Belichick's gone? What do you put the finger on there?
Great question. It's got to be, as Bill used to say, a mosaic. I think the Barmore impacts the entire pass rush and certainly the way guys perform up front. Less talent means more guys trying to do more things,
yep.
Trying to create pass rush because there are better matchups for the offensive line to deal with the people in front of them instead of a double team for Barmore, for instance. Bentley at the second level puts Tavai in a position where he is maybe asked to do more things instead of just being a reactive linebacker. Back into the defense, Duggar not out there last week. And what the hell is Jalen's last? Hawkins?
Yes.
Jalen Hawkins cruising around out there. God bless him. He'll be fine someday. So will Del Pettis, but not now. And that hurt. And that hurt a lot. All those things are involved. And I think, too, when we look at – so Bill's gone, even though he was the more on the offensive side of the ball and dealing with the offensive line because of the issues they were having and the coaching issues on offense, it was still his blueprint. And you still had Steve carrying out, and you still had Mayo carrying it out. People need to understand, and I'm sure many do – when you're a coordinator or a co-coordinator, as he and Steve kind of were, you're running the entire defense. When you're a head coach, you're just checking to see that your coordinators are doing the things that you like, and you correct them if they're not. So Mayo now isn't really running the defense. It's Covington. And it was really well explained by Adam Lazar this week. I had him on the podcast. And the Patriots want to play two high safeties, basically cover two, and they're getting carved up in the middle, which we saw from Geno Smith on the underneath passes. So they started rotating to one high, and they're just not good enough to deal with one high. And teams like the Jets with Rodgers, the Seahawks with Geno, and then Kyle Shanahan were able to go, oh, we see what you're doing, and we know how to take care of this, so sorry. Boom. 40-yard throw. Boom. 18-yard throw. Boom. Third down conversion.
We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Ramondre Stevenson, how much leash is he going to have? Is he going to get the start this week? And are they, if things continue to go this way, going to make or consider making big changes roster-wise even potentially at the running back position?
I would say I would highly doubt the latter. This seems like a temporary thing. If he isn't playing this weekend, it will be amount to being timeout. And when there's a sufficient – I mean, it's hard to say – okay, you cured your fumbling issue until you put somebody back on the field again and see them not fumble, unless they also fumble during practice. But it was interesting to hear Mayo say, and he had a couple of interesting things he said that were cultural tells. Regarding Stevenson, he said there has to be a price to pay, and it has to hold up when somebody does something, especially for where we're at. And I think that was more of a, we're a developing team. If guys just mess up and they're not held to account, that's a bad signal for everybody else. He also said similarly about Jacoby Brissett when asked about the reasons he's playing. He said toughness, leadership, a number of other things too, Andy, I'm sure you remember. But he never mentioned production,
yep,
accuracy, chunk plays. This is all about that foundational setting and expectation setting. It's what this year has kind of, we say devolved into, but we kind of could see it coming, and Kraft could too. This is a foundational year. We're going to set the culture and try and have people understand what our expectations are. And they're still very much, I think, in the position of, okay, we have to set expectations but still play the games and not get ass whipped. So I do think that the injuries have been a troubling effect, T-R-E-B-L, on everything that has caused treble damages to what they're trying to do as an inexperienced team.
So we can't let you through an interview without asking about the quarterback position and Drake May. I heard wind that you have actually come up with a formula for when you would play Drake May.
Yes.
Could you express that to our listeners?
Yes. X is represented by wins.
Oh, math. Oh, boy.
Y is represented by losses.
Uh-huh.
And May is the factor. So when Y equals six more than X,
already lost,
then that means May. So okay, once the Patriots are six games under 500, then I think it's okay to throw May in there. We had this discussion the other day with Adam Jones, and I said, you can't put him out there until the team is stabilized to a point where it looks like you can use him. He said, well, that means, what if they never stabilize? He said, you can't use him at all. And I think that's distilling to a point where, well, that's, you know, overcorrecting and distilling my point to the point of ridiculousness. No, at some point you say, okay, well, looks like it's never going to stabilize. We need to get him in there.
So if
it's never going to stabilize to the point we hoped, let's get him in there.
So if they, so they have to lose, because right now they're 1-3, so they're
correct,
minus two. So I need four more losses in a row and Drake May will play.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would probably do it. You're 1-7.
Yeah.
He's then had another month under his belt. Doesn't that seem kind of reasonable? Like, if you're 2-3 and Jacoby gets you there, you feel okay about it. Okay, we can buy more time for the kids. 2-3. You know, we just change the conversation just a little bit, because you know how we pin the needle one week to the next.
Oh, absolutely.
But I honestly think, I just don't know how they block right now.
Nor do they. Did you know Brian Hudson was the potential starting center? Actually, did you know who Brian Hudson was?
Oh, yeah, Brian Hudson.
Yeah.
I did not until today.
Good friend of mine. My good buddy, Brian Hudson. Tommy, it's time for the Tommy Kern Flex of the Game presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Aside from hammering that under, you got any flexes for the game this week, Tommy?
Flex for the game has to continue to be over with DeMario Douglas. He's too good a player, too talented a player, and the ball has to find its way to him. I mean, it's anemic. Do you know that there's 24 receivers in the NFL with more receptions than the entire Patriots wide receiving corps?
I believe it.
Patriots
I believe
wide
it.
Receiving...
That's a good number.
Jesus.
I mean, it's a bad number, but 20... it's a good number.
So they need to try and flip that. Just try and make that list a little shorter. Interestingly, too, only one of those guys with the 26 or more catches, I can't remember what it was, 27 or more, was a tight end. And there were no running backs. Wow. I know. The game is changing a little.
Really
used to have running backs and tight ends with a crap ton of catches. Now it is wide receiver heavy with getting the ball more than tight ends and running backs on checkdowns.
We should probably go get a wide receiver then.
Well, you got them.
We
you
do?
Need line. You need a line.
Oh, yeah, that too.
A line would help.
Yeah,
a line would definitely
wide
help.
Receiver.
All right, one foot in front of the other. Tommy Curran, great to talk with you as always. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
It is, you too. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take a quick football break when we come back. Alex Speer had some very sobering statistics. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss riddle. That's something we'll get to right after this.
Promise of winning, you know, push me. You know, I think that's the most important thing. I do believe we're in a good place. I knew we were in a good place when the season started. I'm not going to show my hand, right? I mean, it's a business too, kid. But I think where we going is going to be fun. And I've been saying it all along the last 2 weeks, you know, the people are here most of the time. I truly believe this is the last struggle, to be honest with you. I think this is it, you know? And there were some positives, there was a lot of negatives, but I think where we going as an organization, it's going to be fun again. It's going to be fun.
Well, I sure hope so, because it wasn't a terrible year. There were some fun parts, but there's nothing fun about missing the playoffs 3 years when everybody's making it. 70% of major leagues have made the playoffs over the last three seasons. The Sox are in the bottom 30% that haven't, and I'm reading that stat from a tweet yesterday by Alex Speer, who I see at the grocery store sometimes. I saw him at the grocery store near my house 2 times.
That's brag. Random.
Just brag, big time. You
does
know.
He, like, analyze the prices of produce for you or something? Give you a number?
Nah, he didn't for me. He
courtesy of Alex Speer.
I walked up and said, are you Alex Speer? He's like, yeah. And I was like, hey, I'm Arcand. I work at WEI. He's like, yeah, that's great. And he just went out to his car. And
get
that was
from
it.
Me, creep.
And I was like, hey, you know, if you ever go over at the Village Manor on Thursdays, I like to play trivia. Can you use the smart guy on the team? He's like, okay, yeah, great, bye.
You fanboyed Alex Speer?
I was just trying to be nice. It was a day. No, it was a day where I was out of here. I had laryngitis. I, like, could not talk. And be ready. It may pop up again, you know, if I'm getting tired of you.
But so you're going to call in sick?
I've called in sick. I had to call in sick last winter.
Who's our fill-in?
That's a good question.
Fitzy, you there?
Fitzy, yeah. It's Fitzy.
Hello, Fitzy.
Get him on the Comrex if you can.
He's coming with Shime on six. We can
I just realized I have more leverage on the show than I thought. You know?
Oh, boy.
Maybe a little more than I thought I would have had. I better not get sick.
Hey, Stiz, when they ask, when did it all go south for Arcand, can you tell them October 3rd at 3:51?
I want 8 and 8. Okay, and I'm not taking get the Lewis Gross in here,
$8?
And I'm not taking one. I'm not taking a penny less.
$8.
And if you don't like it, suck it. All right,
eight,
I mean that's
beans.
My show. I'm sitting here.
My show.
Yes, that was
host one
aggressive
says it's his
thing
show.
I was saying that day,
and he just realized he had more leverage than he thought he did.
That's true
because he has no backup.
It's true. You know, I mean, come on. Kiefer Jones is out. The other one just slides over. You know,
are you saying that Jacoby Brissett, for example, should ask for like, hey, I just was thinking. I want $5 million more.
Well, he does have a backup.
Does he?
He does.
But they don't want to put him in.
They don't want to put him in, but he does. There is a backup there. There's somebody on the roster.
I mean, we have a backup.
Do we?
Yeah, Fitzy.
That's true, I guess.
It's always Fitzy.
It's a long drive down here, but yeah. Or no, he could just do it. I guess he could just do it over the...
No, he's getting his ass in here.
Over the Comrex.
For my show.
Okay.
For my show, he's getting his ass in here.
Well, see you in 3 hours, then.
Good luck with that.
617-779-7937.
You can barely stand
number.
Each other in the postgame. How are you going to do 4 hours?
That's a good point. The Red Sox, Speer writes, have meandered for 6 years through a slow-motion rebuild, during which, by their own standards, they've been a failure. They say they're on the other side of it and ready to compete for the division. What should that mean? In the last 3 years, as I said, 21 teams have reached the playoffs. That's 70%. Red Sox are in the bottom 30% that haven't. They're also in the minority of 13 teams with just one or zero playoff appearances in the last 6 years. And the reason why these last 3 years are so important is these are the last 3 years where they've expanded the playoffs and made it easier to make mm-hmm. the playoffs. and the Red Sox cannot do it. And I think that when you had Sam Kennedy out there, and listen, we all rip on Sam Kennedy, there was a different kind of tone to what Sam Kennedy was saying. In the sense that, all right, this is starting to get embarrassing now. Like, you know, last year it's going to be electric and we're going to get back into the play. And this is all going to be, you know how Fenway Park is when it's banged down, everybody's in there and it's sold out and the fans are all into it and blah, 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 blah. And he's giving you all that. You didn't get that this time. You know, you're not getting that right now. It's down the road. We got these young players that we're expecting big things from and we're hoping that that works out and all of that. But missing the playoffs again, I think missing the playoffs again this year is a bigger deal than it's being made out to be. I think that this was the type of season where you didn't have to be one of these teams on the outside looking in. And you look now, I mean, Detroit just swept Baltimore. All these teams are getting swept except for that Mets-Brewers series. I mean, you're seeing the wild card teams do pretty well here so far, and it's just you're not part of it. You know, you're on the outside looking in again, and this year it didn't have to be like this.
So I agree with you. Sam Kennedy was a little tempered in his enthusiasm with the whole, you know, talk is cheap or words are cheap or right, whatever he said. And but Alex isn't.
No.
So how do you kind of bring those together, rationalize that? He just called his shot, basically. We're not going to struggle again.
Yep.
We're done with this. So which lane are you in? Because I'm with Alex Cora, but Sam Kennedy worried me. And I told you what worried me about him. We need to get back to where we belong, which I like. That's with Cora, right? That's aligned with Cora. Now I'm excited, and then he goes, of course, we thought we were there this year or something like that. Oh,
no.
Sad, Andy. If you thought you were there this year, then I don't think you know what it means to be back where you belong.
I thought they could have been a playoff team this year.
Yeah, but they weren't going to be a contender. They were going to be the...
If you're in the playoffs, you're a contender.
I know, but not really.
Detroit's a contender.
They knocked out...
What do you mean, not really?
You don't have an ace.
So?
I think you need an ace to win in the
You
postseason.
Only need to win two games to advance in the playoffs.
Just
in the first
you
round.
Advance out of the first round does not mean you're a contender.
I think it kind of does.
I would go back to that Patriots-Mac Jones season. They were not contenders.
They didn't advance out of the first
round. They were a speed bump for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So I want you...
They didn't advance a round, though.
And that's where I get worried about Sam Kennedy's words. Back to where we belong. What does that mean? That doesn't just mean make the playoffs as the third wild card. That's not where you belong. You belong competing for what the Yankees do in the first round.
They had a bye.
Oh, that's right. Where you belong.
They should
competing
have a
bye. For a bye, competing for the number one seed, competing for the division. Right. So when he says back where we belong, good. We thought we were there this year. What? No, you didn't. Because you weren't. You weren't even close. You were a nice little baseball team this year. There were things to like. You said it. There were things to like this season. But no matter whether you made the playoffs or not, you weren't a contender.
They could have sold making the playoffs into being a contender, and I would have bought in because I think that that's really it. In the baseball playoffs now, it's not much, really. It's not much
to
get in there.
So Tanner Houck was your ace you were going to ride to the World Series.
If you get one good start from him in that best of three wild card round, then yes.
World Series. Contending for a World Series.
Okay.
Not winning a wild card round. You can take that and shove it up your bum bum.
All right. Do I think Tanner Houck would have been a good starter throughout the playoffs?
Ace.
Yes, I do.
The type of pitcher you can ride to the World Series.
Not probably.
Did you
not.
Have that?
Probably
no,
not.
You didn't.
No.
So you weren't a contender.
Well, I don't know if Garrett Cole is that either for the Yankees. So,
he's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be. I don't know if he is.
Yeah.
He's getting paid like it. I don't know if he is.
Doesn't have to face Rocky.
Tigers have a guy like that in Skubal, absolutely.
Absolutely.
The Royals have a guy like that in Lugo, I would say, too. The Yankees, I mean, you can make the argument the Yankees have paid for it, but they don't necessarily have it.
Sure.
They have other good starters, and I think the collection of their starters could maybe make up for the fact that they don't have that one guy, and you don't always need that one guy. And the Guardians, I mean, the Guardians have a good pitching staff, too. But, yeah, you're right. I see
but
what you're saying.
You know what? And the Yankees don't really need to prove they have that guy. You know why? They're the number one seed.
Right.
Just inherently, the fact that they didn't have to play says they're a contender. They were the best team, right? So that, you know, other than the... But if you made...
I mean, they had a pretty up-and-down season, but yes,
very up-and-down.
Yes.
But if you made the playoffs as a wild card, you were sneaking in. You were backdooring in. And people would say, huh, I wonder what their chances are. Can they get hot? Can they do this? What are they... And it would be like, huh, with that bullpen? Probably not.
World Series was two wild card teams last year.
I know.
But why are you discounting it so much?
So you think this Red Sox team was a World Series contender?
If they had made the playoffs, yes.
Oh, I don't.
I think any team that makes the playoffs is a contender at this
point. I don't.
That's how I look at it.
That's just luck. That's just luck.
779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take a break. When we come back, I heard the morning show talking about this. We were supposed to talk about it yesterday, but it slipped our minds. James White has a lot to say about the Drake May timeline and situation. We'll reset on that, the matchup with Miami, and teams that the Patriots may or may not be better off than. We'll get to all that right after this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.